Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Hotel from Barigani. What's happening in peace? January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, we will have Summit of the Moors. This is a collective effort to bring about economic security that is a great opportunity for our people to forecast their own future, beginning with a collective approach that could benefit all. The educators, the speakers are all diverse to represent the people who are also diverse in their ideologies. On deck, we have Kadara Bey, Dr. Arlene Bey, Julani Bey, Tahaka Amina L. Bey, Abundance Child, Sundiata L., Daraya Bey, the Federation of Southern Cooperative, German Shannon L., Sharif Noble, and myself, Asar Dalo Sekou Abur L. Topics will be food security, such things as aquaponics, gold and silver purchasing, technology, cooperative application, the administrative process, and lots more. We also have what's called private side sessions. These sessions will not be recorded, any recording, audio, or visual for the public. You have to be in person in order to get these jewels. And we also have some special guests who didn't want to be advertised that will come and drop more information. I'm urging everyone to go to www.dalosekou.com and register. This is free. This is a free event. It is www.dalosekou.com. DialoSekou.com. January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, Summit of the Moors. Peace.
Welcome, Moors. Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay. And this evening broadcast will be on Federal and Civil Procedure Part 6. And we're going to touch on a lot of things this evening, and especially on new developments in dealing with your mortgage company, how to save your home. Brother Commit to You Bay has already said he's going to be with us this evening. And more than likely, probably Brother Love L will be with us. And so we need you to sit back and hold tight. And we'll get into this and see if we can help you guys with your situation. It's very, very important for you to have pencil and paper so you can write this stuff down, so you'll be able to do some research or be able to make some contact with somebody to get your remedy situated. We offer our free articles as usual, the 14th Amendment Exposed, the Commerce Game, How to Play, history of the United States government and its bankruptcies. And the way you access that is simply by contacting me, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get you in there. For those of you who have not gotten a hold of the most comprehensive library in the country, you need to contact me in regards to that at the same number I just described to you. Now, this is very, very important because it contains the tools. Now, I just dropped some more information in there, especially in regards to dealing with getting your loved ones out of prison, and as well as your we went ahead and put your template in there for the affidavit of identity to keep you from having to purchase identification cards from the United States government, and you'll be able to put that along with your World Citizen Passport, and then you got your two forms of ID. That information, along with a ton of other information, is in the library to aid you. And the way to get a hold of that is just simply by contacting me, Tahaka, at 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get you in there. Also, for those of you who are on your social sites, contact me at T-A-R-H-A-K-A, Amana, A-M-A-A-N-A, Elbey, that's E-L, and then B-E-Y. Send me a free request to that title, and we will go ahead and grant you a free request that will give you access to my wall, the broadcast, and a ton of other information. Also, all you got to do is just type that name into your browser, Tahaka Amana Elbey, into your browser, and that'll show you everywhere we are. You click on that and sign up, you got access. Okay, I see we got the switchboard lit up, so we're going to open up these lines and so we can get started here. Area code 631, tell us who you are.
Yes, Lobo, this is coming to you.
Okay, my brother, hold tight right there. Area code 773, who's calling?
Islam, brother. It's Brother Love Hill. Islam.
All right. Okay, we're ready to lock and load here this evening. I want to say that I give praises and honor to the prophet, Holy Prophet Noble Drew Ali. And what we're going to do now is deal with how to operate in commerce under the system of contract law inside the United States. The prophet said, don't flash your ID before Europeans to cause confusion. So how are we going to do this thing? How are we going to operate? We're going to operate by learning law and learning how to operate under contract law, learning civil procedures, federal procedures, state procedures, how to deal with the mortgage companies. So the brothers are here with us this evening, and we're going to go ahead and drop this information. So you all sit tight. If you got questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll recognize them according to the switchboard, and we open up the line and let you in. I'm going to start with my brother, Commit to You, Bay, and Brother Love Air, hold on. I'm going to mute your mic, and we're going to get you back in here. Okay?
Come on, brother.
Islam. Islam on. Brother Commit to You, Bay. What's going on, man?
Peace, Noble. Maintaining family, studying, you know, listening to a piece that you dropped. Not only that, you want to study law and rest of the contract law, which is true, but you're going to definitely have to study finance because finance is very, very important to study to know exactly how the system operates, because we have to look into what you call as ALEC. ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Committee, and that committee is a committee that is being controlled by the corporation. The corporation's execs are the ones who tell legislators what bills to pass in order for the corporation to operate a certain way. You know what I'm saying? So finance is definitely the key. The prophet brought it out. He said it takes finance to liquidation. Finance is science and the lifeline. So we definitely got to study finance because nobody out there is stressing finance like they're supposed to. You know what I'm saying? So when you go to Article 3, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution, it talks about the judicial authority should extend in all cases in what? Law and equity, which means that if you come before a judge, I don't care if it's a family court judge, a bankruptcy judge, a small claims court judge, a criminal court judge, whatever judge that you come before, for those who are listening out there, that judge by law must have banking and finance as a part of their professional official status. And if that judge does not have that as a credential, he cannot sit on the bench because we already know that the word bench is a Latin word meaning bank. All right, Brother Tahaka?
All right, my brother. Fantastic. Hold on a second. Let me open up my brother's line here and let him give us a few words here. Come on in, Brother Lovell.
Shalom, Brother Tahartha Bay. I rise giving praise to Allah, the Lord, Governor, Cherisher, Sustainer, Ruler of the World, to give hell and high honors to all true and divine prophets, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius. I give honors to the Grand Staff, that's the red flag, bearing the five divine principles of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, and Star-Spangled Banner. Islam.
Islam.
I had a treat for the Moors today. Just kind of wanted to go over some information dealing with some tort issues with regards to constitutional law. What the brother said is very, very important because, as a matter of fact, what I want to do is I want to present my situation as a case study so that everybody can get a better understanding. Now, we've already put together notice and statements of claim for damages in the form of an affidavit, and we're currently in the process of searching out the financial, the part of the institution and the municipality that would process the claim, because from my understanding of it is, on the municipal level here in Chicago, the city of Chicago, they have a finance committee that's composed of several members of several of the aldermen who represent the legislative branch of that particular branch, level of government, okay? And they meet together at least once a month to discuss the budget and certain finances that come up. So there's a process where that information can be submitted to that board. So that's the issue right now. Like Noble Brother said, we have to become more cognizant of finance and commerce so that we can go to the proper place to properly process our claims within commerce. Because on one hand, we have situations where we're going into the courts and we're litigating and we're hitting them up with these laws, hitting them up with these motions. But on the other hand, we need to have also the other side of the remedy where we start making them pay when they don't do what they're supposed to do, when they don't hold up to their oaths. There's always a recourse of remedy. We just have to know where to look to find it. Islam,
Mo. My position and what I specialize in is trying to make sure that in any situation that arises, I deal with it from a position of administrative position in attempt to solve the matter and put it in a position where it never ever have to even get a chance to go to court. And I'm gonna give you an example of what I mean by that. I got lucky the other day. A friend of mine was going to my house, and we stopped at the service station to get gas. And when I got out of the car and I took my little card and I stuck it in the gas pump thing so that I could purchase the gas on the card. We got exactly $25 worth of gas. Now, and I push a little button for the receipt. Now, keep in mind, this is a brand new station. And the receipt came out, and we purchased $25 worth of gas. But I have my account tied to my phone, so every purchase that I make is also registered on my phone as a text message so I can verify it. But when the message come across the phone, I noticed that the amount on the paper ticket said $25 and the amount on the phone said $57.71. I said, Mission Control, we have a problem. So I went up to the clerk. I said, inside the store, I said, excuse me. I said, there's been a mistake. I said, here's my receipt. I just purchased $25 worth of gas. But the pump is my phone is registered in $57.71. I need you to give me my money back. And he told me that he couldn't give me my money back. I said, okay. Well, I'm gonna need to get some information from you. Name of your company. I'm gonna need to get you. Who's your supervisor? Who's the president of the company? And all this right here. And I said, we're not gonna argue about it. I'll do the rest. So I managed to get that information. I said, you have a number that I can call. He gave me the number. So I called the company, and I talked to a secretary. Now, the secretary informed me that there was a secretary hired in her and that she could not give me the name of the president of the company. I said, well, that's okay. I'll go ahead and research that. And I verified the address of the company, city, state, and zip code and all that. And I headed on to the house because I couldn't get my funds back. No sooner than when I got to the house, here's the phone ringing. It's an attorney representing the company. And he want to know what happened and all this. I explained it to him. Not only did this happen to me while I was talking to the guy behind the counter about the situation, other people came in and say that the same situation that had happened to them. So we began to collect their names and their information and briefly what happened to them. And I explained that to the attorney, and she wanted to try to tell me, well, look, you know, we can fund the money back to the account. I said, no, don't worry about that. Go ahead and fund the money to the account, but let me provide you with some paperwork so you understand that I have been victimized in this way and other people have been victimized. And so what I did was I hooked out an affidavit letting them know about the grand theft, about the other people who's agreed to testify before a grand jury. We laid out the points in that affidavit. We were asking for $12,000 in damages, and we went ahead and put it in an envelope and sent it to them certified mail with return receipt and giving them 10 days to respond. And so that's how we did that. So that is my way of dealing with these things. There's no need for me to argue with them. I'm not looking for a cold case. We're sending it to you. We're letting you know what happened to us. We're putting in all the points of the law, which is irrefutable. You broke the law, pay me. And so after that, now if they're refusing to do that, of course, the amount would escalate, and then by the time we get into court, then there's a very, very serious problem. But that is my position in dealing with that. So I consider myself have been gotten lucky, and even though I didn't write any tickets and put in for the lottery, I managed to get a hold of one. But anyway, moving right along, brother. Brother Commit to Bait, you spoke to me earlier about some things that happened with the mortgage, some more information that you had found out about mortgage. You want to give us a breakdown on that?
Yeah, well, more, again, family, Islam. It's a situation or a scenario where a lot of our brothers and sisters were getting hit with these mortgage foreclosures. And I recall going back 10 years, there was a process called using a straw process to help draw brothers and sisters out of the mortgage scenario. Now, most of the time when I do hear the word straw man being used, a lot of the people is not aware of how to use a straw man. I mean, I hear them talk about it, all right, about how they're being used as a straw man, or you need to capture the straw man, all right, and that's basically about it. You don't hear no more else about it. But, again, like I said, I was involved with comprehending a straw man process, in which I really didn't hear too many people talk about it, especially among Moors, but it was unfortunate that process was abused because it was really helping a lot of brothers and sisters out of the foreclosure process. Now, how the process works, so all those who are listening can hear this and ask questions after I deliberate on this process, is that, say, for instance, you have a mortgage for $200,000 and you fell into financial hardship, and so, of course, the bank is going to move on you to accelerate a foreclosure, all right? And this is for non-judicial states and judicial states, all right? And what I mean by that you have non-judicial foreclosing states and you have judicial foreclosing states, meaning that you have states where the bank don't even take it to court before a judge to foreclose on you because it's already in the contract, all right? And then you do have states that you have to take it to court in order for the judge to foreclose on it based upon a judicial sale. All right, so that's the difference between the two. But this process can work with either one, all right, for those who are maybe in a non-judicial foreclosing state. So this process works for either one. And how the process works is that, say, for instance, Brother Tahaka, you had a mortgage for $200,000, and say you had a financial hardship, right, where some catastrophe happened, and now you couldn't pay your mortgage, you know, right? And all of a sudden you came across a brother like myself who, you know, of course, have good credit, all right? So what would happen is me and you would get into a contract, all right, straw man contract, in order to be able to bring you out of foreclosure. And so how the process would work is that what I would do, again, is get into the contract between me and you, all right, and our agreement between me and you, and this straw man process in order to bring you out of foreclosure. In this process, what I would do is I would actually purchase your property or buy your property out of foreclosure. This is what I would do. Buy it out of foreclosure by using my credit. All right. Now, say, for instance, of your payments, say, for instance, they were, I'm giving you a hypothetical figure. Say it was $1,800 a month. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when I, of course, purchased the property out of foreclosure, all right, now what happens is that because of the credit rating that I have, all right, say this is a 7.5. And say, for instance, that credit rating gave me a better payment plan, you know, for the mortgage that is. So from the period that you was paying the $1,800, because of based upon my credit of me getting you out of foreclosure, my mortgage payments, right, or the new mortgage payments will probably come down to, say, about $1,100. So that means I don't save you $700 a month in your mortgage, all right? So
okay.
In that process, now, I purchased the property, but now I purchased it not for, say, for $200,000, say, for $300,000, all right, because I have to pay off that mortgage plus get the new mortgage on the property. So now the new mortgage is $300,000 at $1,100 a month mortgage payment, all right, which means I would be saving you $700, all right, plus the interest rates because of my good credit. This is what I'm lending you as a straw process and getting you out of foreclosure, all right, and in the process what happens is that it's going to give me good credit because now it's going to build my credit up, all right, so it's going to benefit me also and it's going to benefit you. But not only that, now, the difference is, at the closing, it's going to be $100,000 difference, all right? And so as I was saying to you before earlier, Brother Tahaka, say, for instance, that check is being cut after closing, all right?
Okay.
And so now, meanwhile, you're going to get the check because you don't sold the property to me, all right? But we are working together in this four-man contract. So you'll get the $80,000. You'll give me the $20,000 for my services. All right, and so what you would do is you would put that $80,000 away, and the only thing you would do, like for instance, you would take like half of whatever that mortgage would be a monthly. So if it was $1,100, all right, you're talking about what, $550. So you're going to add $550, all right, to the $550 to defray any of your costs until you can bring your mortgage lower within a several month period. After that period that we see that everything is going well, then what I would do is quick claim the deed to you. That's what I would do. I would quick claim the deed to you so that way you actually would get the deed back. You would still pay on the mortgage, so it's paid off. And once the mortgage is paid off, you got the property back. And, of course, I got, of course, the $20,000 plus I have even stressing my credit even more. So we both benefit from the process. That's basically how that process works, Brother Tahaka.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Now, the whole while you all we're working this thing, I'm still in the house. Does the house have to be paid off, or we have to have a payment and mortgage situation already in progress for this to take place?
Well, you got to remember, Tahaka, when you want to get a mortgage, you're going to always naturally you want to see what your mortgage payments is going to be based upon your mortgage note. So, again, as I gave the example, hypothetical example, was that, say, for instance, if your mortgage was $200,000 a month and your mortgage payment was $1,800 and you fell into financial hardship and the bank wants to move on you and then you find an individual like myself come along to pull you out of foreclosure, all right, by using a straw man contract process, all right, what happens is that because of my good credit of 7.5 or even higher, all right,
uh-huh.
The interest rate is going to be lower, and the payment's going to be lower. So instead of having a mortgage payment of $1,800 that you had at the time, because maybe your credit wasn't good and it was predatory lending, so the bank didn't give a damn, or then they want to do is make money and make you lose the property, because as I tell people, banks make more money off of foreclosing on your property than for you to be waiting for a 30-year mortgage to be paid off. Bank is not going to wait for that. So they'd rather foreclose and collect on the default, all right, because of the insurances that's being put on the mortgage, which is the PMI. But in the meantime, the mortgage payment would be a difference of, I'm just giving a hypothetical figure now, $700, because now my mortgage payments would be $1,100 as opposed to $1,800, which that extra deduction of $700 will make it comfortable for you, because you would say, oh, that's good. Now I can pay $1,100 mortgage payment every month as opposed to paying $18. All right, so things will be comfortable because that extra $700 would just help you maintain, you know, as a deduction. All right, plus, again, at the end, at the closing, you're going to be getting most likely a check for $100,000. All right, so because once it's approved of me getting the mortgage loan for $300,000, of course you subtract the $200 from the $300, leaving $100,000. So that's the check that's going to go to you. But I get the $20,000 out of that, all right, and then you get the $80,000, and you will put that to the side, all right, sort of like an escrow, your own personal escrow account, and you would, of course, you would take half the fees, mortgage fees, and add it to the other half to defray any costs that you may have to keep your mortgage going until your mortgage is paid off.
Okay. All right. I understand now. Brother Lovell, what you got? What you think about that, man?
It's long, brother. I think that's a pretty good prospect, especially when you're talking about operating through commerce. But I wanted to bring another dimension to the whole mortgage issue. First of all, we have to understand that our birthright is a very powerful thing. And there's nothing worth more than a good, you know, we have a good name. So a good name is better than good credit. I want to bring the people to the concept of the fact that we are supposed to be, we have to have a rich or wealthy consciousness. Prophet Nobuddin Ali, Allah be praised for bringing him to us, taught us this. He, in fact, in one of his speeches titled Think This Over You Moors, he said that all real estate or any property should be in the name of the Moorish Science Symbol of America or Nobuddin Ali. He said that for a reason. I'm going to give you the reason why. Now, I'm sure everybody's on this line has heard about the possibility of someone being able to give their house to the church, or they donated their house to the church per se, okay? Now, think about this. When you donate something like that, what occurs to any encumbrances that's attached to it? Because, by the way, it's not in your name anymore. You pretty much gave the house to the church. Now, people think about it in terms of, oh, well, the house has to be free and clear. Not necessarily so. Okay, because understand, a mortgage in and of itself is not proof of ownership of property. It is not. It is just a legal document that's attached, or it's a supposedly a security document that's attached to the property. Okay, so what occurs is there's statutes within every state of the union that pretty much states that a religious corporation or religious entity or religious society has the ability to hold real estate or to hold property. So that means that I would encourage the members to consider transferring the property over to the temple, because the temple has the authority to nullify any encumbrances that may be on the property, although there is the condition of keeping in line with all necessities of the temple. But the fact of the matter is, whenever you donate a property to a religious entity, according to the law, that pretty much nullifies the mortgage. Think about it like this. What sense would it make to pay a mortgage if you've donated the property to a religious order, a religious society? They could pretty much just write it off, correct? Isn't this the way things work when you donate something? Why not just write off the debt? This is all it's all on paper anyway. So we have a process where we encourage the Moors to utilize the aspects of that trust, because if you understand this, the Moorish Science Temple of America is a trust, and the various entities that's been created and that derive from the temple are also trusts that are capable of holding entities, real estate, and things of that nature. And also, I'd like to also point everybody's attention to international law, human rights law, that pretty much stipulates that we as indigenous people have the right to housing. This is not something that we have to apply for. I mean, just because you've been born, you have the right to housing. So, with that being said, you have to understand that in the sense of us being indigenous people, that the mortgage game is one of the biggest cons and one of the biggest scams, because it's just like it says in the lessons. Be not the debtor. I'm paraphrasing, but in so many words, the debtor is the one that is enslaved. The debtor is enslaved to the borrower. Okay? So that means if you're in a situation where you owe a debt for something that you're supposed to have in accordance to your birthright anyway, and you're paying out money to these foreigners, and you don't, and that's because you don't understand the truth about who you are and where you come from, then something's wrong with that picture. You see, that's part of the reason why we haven't been flourishing as much, because we give up so much of our energy to things that we don't understand. That's part of the reason why, that's part of how we've been stranded after God's Spirit. Not understanding where our finances is going, because, see, the finance is the lifeblood, pretty much, of the nation. That's the lifeline. You know, that's, how did the prophet say, what did he say it took to take to uplift the nation? He said it takes finance to uplift the nation. So just think about it. If you 80% of members and over 60% of their wages are going to paying a mortgage, which they don't understand, is now that's one of the biggest con games going now, because most of your energy is going out into a place where you don't even know, and you're maintaining somebody else's lifestyle. Where this money is going, you don't know to who, how they're spending it, how they're divvying it up, or even how they even have the right to collect it from you in the first place. So my whole thing is to eliminate it all together, either by utilizing the statutes that are in place that can that we can show through religions piece, or just utilizing our birthright any way we can to make them understand, these banks understand, that the jig is up. Islam,
Mo. Now, before we go with that, let me ask you something, because I know you. You said that the brothers and sisters should give their, if they're going to donate something, they should consider donating their property to a religious institution. But now, and I know personally, me personally, I don't deal with religion at all, period. I deal specifically with government. But my question to you is the Moorish Science Temple of America a bona fide, legitimate government and not a corporation?
Sir, brother, let me concur. First of all, I wanted to say that I'm interested that you said you dealt with government, because if you look at the formulation and the pretty much the foundation of each and every government, it's all religious based. So pretty much, it's a beautiful thing that part of our religion is to proclaim our nationality, because re meaning going back, religion is binding too. So that just means that we're binding ourselves back to the state of mind of our ancient forefathers. That is our religion. That is our religion, period. And that's what I'm talking about when I say transferring over to a religious institution, because, see, our understanding of demonstration of religion is not the same as it was when we were sleeping under the throes of Christianity, which, by the way, was set up for the earthly salvation of someone else. We have something that's been set up for our earthly and divine salvation when we properly understand that the religious piece, it represents sanctuary. Now, when you go to, I want to direct everybody's attention to to answer your question about the Morris Science Symbol of America being not only an organization, a religious organization, but also a government, okay? So I like to go and reference the document itself. And it says, and this is in Act 5, okay? Now it reads, "This organization of the Morris Science Temple of America is not to cause any confusion or to overthrow the laws and constitution of the said government, but to obey hereby." Notice it says, "This organization of the Morris Science Temple of America," so that it is established that it is an organization. Then it says, "is not to cause any confusion or to overthrow the laws and constitution of the said government, but to obey hereby." So if it says, when it says said government, then that means that it's referencing something that was aforementioned. So that means that the name of the government would have to be somewhere mentioned prior in the document. And the only entity that I can see that is referenced as an entity, as a government, that's associated, is the Morris Science Temple of America as an organization, okay? Now, it could also be argued that the government consists of the grand body, okay? The grand sheik, the chairman, the grand body, the prophet who assists, even though he's not here with us in the flesh. But also, there's a vehicle that has to be present, the Morris Science Temple of America. So you see the foundational setups of the government, and the government has to be named. So, pardon me, it couldn't just be a vague reference to the grand body, even though we understand that that is part of what it is composed of, the grand body. But it has to be within the temple structure, the way it's set up. So we have to understand that it's set up for our protection. It's not to put us on a situation where we're demonstrating belief. Because, see, we understand that salvation is, there's a three-step ladder to salvation, okay? Belief is the first step. Now, most people don't get past belief, and this is the sunum bonum of most religions, okay? But all praise is due to Allah. We have three more rungs to go up, because faith is that which man knows to be the truth. And then finally, the last rung is fruition, when man himself becomes the truth. So that is the essence of the religion, from God again, in our understanding to resurrect the minds of our people, to understanding their birthrights and their special protections that's afforded to them when they proclaim their nationality, and when they understand that the protective features that come from not adhering, not being under the Negro, Black, and Colored Act. Because, see, that's what you have to do. I don't care how intelligent or how much you know about the prophet and this, that, the other. Until you have actually proclaimed your nationality and did what's necessary to separate yourself, to differentiate yourself, then you are still under that Roman, that yoke, okay? Because, see, you got to understand, the prophet came to break that Roman seal. He said it's the same spirit that manifested 2,000 years ago. When he broke the Roman seal then, at that time, it was to the tomb, okay? This is all symbology, okay? But now the seal that's been broken is a seal that's been on the hearts, minds, and souls of our people, as far as them understanding, not understanding the truth about where they come from and who they come from. This is part of the reason why we have been subjected to economic servitude to the other nations. And when you look at, that's part of what I referenced in some of this This information I had put on file going against the city of Chicago. I made a reference to the divine warning by the prophet to the nation. And I think I want to go a little bit into that because, see, that is...
Well, wait a minute. Before you do, let me get over here back to my brother.
Hey, brother.
Because I want to do... But hold that. and we'll come. We'll let you finish up what you were about to say about that. But brother, commit to you, faith. What part does equity play in all of this? I mean, in the commerce game inside the United States when we're dealing with commerce and when we're dealing with mortgages and stuff like that. Because that's been a question that's been put to me by a lot of brothers about this equity thing. Could you shed some light on the equity side of this thing?
Well, you know, Noble, that's a good question because we definitely have to stay focused because the prophet shed light on that. All right, he says to take finance to lift the nation, and that's exactly what equity is. Equity is finance, all right? But equity is not just finance, too. There's some other levels to equity just in finance because when you look up the word equity, all right, you'll notice that the what you call is collections of words. You know, there are other root words that relate to equity, and that's the word equality and that's the word equal. All right, and so it's really difficult for our people to say that in this society that we live in is equitable to us. It's not, because we have been sanctioned out of the marketplace and out of the economy, but yet at the same time we're being used, all right, as equitable means as gains to these corporate leaders. You know what I'm saying? So we, again, have to begin to start removing ourselves from the world of commerce, of allowing ourselves to be used and start operating and controlling the commerce, all right, so we can start getting equity, because that's one of the problems that we're having today is that we do not acknowledge equity. We have no knowledge or education in finance, all right, you know, and because we don't have that, we cannot sustain ourselves, all right? If we can build up our own infrastructure of equity, all right, something that's going to be equitable, all right, because when you say equitable, that means it's we're going to have the equality, because we create the equality, because I remember listening to some of the Nation of Islam teachings, which, of course, comes from the prophet, all right? One of the things that Elijah Muhammad said is that they want equality, all right? Now, to say that you want equality doesn't mean that you want equality from the European, because you can never get equality from the European. Equality means that the same equal opportunity to be able to economically bring us up out of our own bootstraps without having to be suffering at the hands of someone else. Like the prophet has said, no nation respects a begging nation, all right? And we definitely fall into that category as a begging nation because we have not educated ourselves in the laws of finance or the laws of equity that have the equitable means to be able to say, you know what, we know we have the resources so that we can continue to perpetuate equality. Equity is equality. Equity is, you know, all of us who are in this condition, we have different levels of statuses, financial statuses, if you notice that. You know, one may make 5-6 figures, another one make much more, maybe one make less, or maybe unemployed. Well, that has to be eradicated, all right? And that eradication can only come through education, all right, and finance in order for us to yield an equitable status or span so that way we won't be disrespected and won't be looked upon as a begging nation. So it's so important that we comprehend what equity is all about. The mortgage is a good example. The European, all right, had put us in a position where he's going to see that that the mortgage is going to be equitable and that he's going to be the beneficiary of the equity from the mortgage that he created, which is some structured finance, all right? Now, because the fact that my position as a Moor to our Moorish brothers and sisters out there, conscious or unconscious, all right, is to bring that education, to bring that enlightenment. A good example, last week, Thursday, was what we call Thanksgiving. Now, if anybody's paying close attention, Brother Sahaka, President Barack Obama had said, I'm going to pardon the turkey. Before him, in the Bush administration, he pushed out the same phrase. So how many of my brothers and sisters know what they're talking about? And as I teach in class on Tuesdays, all right, up in Harlem, all right, at the National Black Theater, all right, I bring it to our brothers and sisters' attention that when you have officials, right, like senators, congressmen, attorneys, high-ranking officials that's in the public eye and ear, and we are observing these things, all right, they're all talking finance, and a lot of us don't even know the language. So when Barack Obama said, we're going to pardon the turkey. Now, family, this is the question for those who are listening out there. Did you know that the word turkey is a financial term? I've been on your show already, Tahaka, and I already gave information about the Dictionary of Investment in Financial Terms, the Dictionary of Banking Terms by Barron's, and if you can't get your hands on those books, that's what you have to do is go into Investopedia, all right? And when you go to Investopedia.com, you can even put your email in to become a subscriber where they can alert you for any financial news information just to keep you abreast and educated up on the financial issues concerning equity. But when you go to Investopedia and you type in turkey, lo and behold, turkey is a definition. But a lot of us don't even know that. Because why? Because we're not educated in finance. How are we going to know equity if we don't study the laws of finance, to study the laws of equity? And the prophet already gave it to us. He says it takes finance of the nation. Every other nation is making sure that something equitable is going to be feasible for their government. All right? But if we as Moors are not on that same level as the other families of nations to make sure that it's something that's equitable and feasible for us, we're going to continue to be economically sanctioned. We are now sanctioned right now, and we don't even see it. We don't even see it because we're allowing somebody else to give us a 9-to-5. We're allowing somebody else to give us housing, all right? We're allowing somebody else to give us food, clothes, you know what I'm saying, or medicine, and that's a problem because we do not comprehend what finance are. We are not creating the financial endeavors and revenues so that we can sustain ourselves, Brother Tahaka. Peace.
Okay. Brother L, what's your take on this equity thing?
Islam, brother. I definitely wanted to drop something. I wanted to drop a few words from the prophet because I think he speaks he speaks to this issue, and I wanted to give my drawing on what was read. So this is an excerpt from a divine warning by the prophet for the nations. And the prophet says, and I quote, "I love my people, and I desire their unity of mind back to their own free national and divine standard, because day by day they have been violating the national and constitutional laws of their government by claiming names and principles that are unconstitutional. If Italians, Greeks, English, Chinese, Japanese, Turks, and Arabians are forced to proclaim their national name and religion before the constitutional government of the United States of America, it is no more than right that the laws should be enforced upon all other American citizens alike. In all other governments, when a man is born and raised there and asks for his national descent name, if he fails to give it, he is misused, imprisoned, or exiled. Any group of people that fail to answer up to the constitutional standards of law by name and principles, because to be a citizen of any government, you must claim your national descent name, because they place their trust upon issue and names formed by their forefathers. The word Negro deludes to the Latin language of the word to the word nigger, the same as the word colored deludes to anything that is tainted, varnished, and dyed. And every nation must bear a national descent name of their forefathers, because honoring thy fathers and thy mothers, your days will be lengthened upon this earth. These names have never been recognized by any true American citizens of this day. Through your free national name, you are known and recognized by all nations of the earth that are recognized by said national government in which they live. The 14th and 15th Amendment brought the North and South in unit, facing the Southerners who were at that time without power, with the constitutional body of power. And at that time, 1865, the free national constitutional law that was enforced since 1774 declared all men equal and free. And if all men are declared by the free national constitution to be free and equal, since that Constitution has never been changed. There is no need for the application of the 14th and 15th Amendments for the salvation of our people and citizens. See, there goes that word equal again in the prophet's speech. So, and then understanding what the brother was just, the noble brother was just mentioning about us needing to heighten our IQ on financial matters, it only makes sense that we understand that the prophet, he was definitely a master of economics. And I believe he said something to the nature that we shouldn't spend a dollar just because it can spend, you know. We should be careful as to how we spend our dollars and make sure that it counts for something and make sure that it's to our benefit, because we go out here and we spend the cash, yeah, but if it's not to the benefit of the nation, if it's not to uplift the nation, then it's to naught and it's to no avail. Just pointing out and just taking further what the brother was saying about how these Europeans have become masters of the commerce game. And that's part of the reason why I got into real estate, because I wanted to understand, well, what gives them the right to set up all these people to pay these mortgages? Well, first of all, the people, first of all, have to be dumbed down to the point where they can be tricked into believing that the only way you're going to maintain the lifestyle or have the American dream is to get a 9-to-5 job and to work that job as hard as you can and make sure you pay all your bills, pay your mortgage. So basically, you've been set into a compartmental way of thinking. So it's just like one of those cells in the Matrix. You're trapped inside, and that's your whole life. So you can't. And so, here's the horrible thing about foreclosure. That brings all that comes crashing down, because now the nightmare has begun to manifest, because a lot of these people can't maintain these payments. And we also have to understand that the prophet also said to not put too much burden on my Moors, and he said this to the Moorish leaders, because, see, it's important that the people become educated. It is the responsibility of the leaders to make sure the people have the proper education of the civics so that they would not be harmed. Just like the prophets say, day by day, these were warnings. We didn't take heed. Look at what's happened. Look at what's current to us today. We are being misused, abused, and exiled because we didn't follow the warning. So it's quite simple. We have to come, in order to bring ourselves back within the constitutional fold, we have to first proclaim our nationality. Then we can begin to get a better assessment of where we stand from a financial standpoint and begin to make the moves that we need to make on an individual and a collective level. Islam, Mo.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to y'all to hold on for a moment and for a little station identification. But before I do, I want you guys to sign with you, Brother Ube. Let's know how we can get a hold of you. That contact information, let's get that out there so they can learn how to get a hold of you.
Yes, Noble. My contact information, I can be reached at 347-626-1357. That's 347-626-1357. You can reach me by calling me at that number, or you can text me if you don't get me directly, or you can email me at F like in Frank, U like in Universe, R like in Red, D like in David, E like in Eric, M like in Mary, U like in Universe, I like in ID, R like in Red at yahoo.com. You can email me, and those will be the way you can contact me. All right, Noble? So if any of those, feel free to call, and, of course, we would, you know, help solve whatever issues we may have, you know, because I know that we are a people that's under direct duress and coercion, and so we need some kind of relief or remedy. So you can reach me at that those contacts, please.
Okay. Brother Lovell, let us have that contact information.
Islam, brother. I can be contacted and reached at area code 773-699-5905. Again, that number is area code 773-699-5905. I could be texted there if you don't contact me immediately or leave a message. You can also contact me at via email at morishhomeoffice@gmail.com. That's one word, morishhomeoffice@gmail.com. Again, that's morishhomeoffice@gmail.com. And what we specialize in is foreclosures, mortgage elimination, some civil matters. Here for the remedy, so if you need assistance, that's what we're here for. We provide a service for the people, Morish Law Services. We also have the Morish Department of Land and Property Acquisition for the protection and preservation of your assets. Islam.
Go ahead. What were you saying, brother?
Islam, I want to share some additional information to the brothers and sisters concerning the mortgage information, because it's critical, because, you know, Brother Love Hill has said something, and one thing that we have to be clear is that, first of all, we shouldn't really be mortgaging off our properties and our lands anyway, all right? We shouldn't even be doing any of that, because that's our right. And, of course, we already know about the story in the book of Genesis. These are allegorical stories in these books, but at the same time, these allegories are something that we can learn as a teaching tool, all right, because that's the prophet did. The prophet, you know, as he stated, that he compiled these lessons, all right, to be able to teach our children, all right. This is what he stated in reference to the prophet of the Quran, all right. But what I wanted to share was the word mortgage, all right, and we have to make sure this is clear for those who are listening. The word mortgage means debt pledge, all right? M-O-R-T, meaning debt, G-A-G-E, meaning pledge. So you are pledging automatically in a breach of contract from the initial start of the mortgage agreement, all right? And the banks know this. That's why they can accelerate and foreclose on you at any given time. But for you to recognize what's going on, he's not new, right?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Nehemiah, the fifth chapter, brother, is something that we all need to go and read, because you make mention about a religious order, and a lot of these churches, brother, and masjids and Hebrew Israelite temples are entering into mortgages, brother, and we all aware of that. All right, and they're not teaching properly. So we need to teach our people properly, and this is what the teachings of the prophet. But when you go to Nehemiah, the fifth chapter, it was talking about, and this is the first chapter of the fifth chapter, and I'm going to briefly read something for people to hear this, and this is very important to notice, all right, because this is going on today. There was a great cry of the people and their wives against their brethren, the Jews, for they were that said, we, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore, we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our land. I'll say it again. Right? There were that said, we have mortgaged our land, vineyards, and houses that we might buy corn because of the dearest, right? There were also that said, we have borrowed money from the king's tribute, which is a loan from the bank, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our land and our vineyards. All right, so I'm not going to go into that, but those need to read Nehemiah the fifth chapter, because when you read that, Nehemiah the prophet was upset with those corrupt Jews who was actually mortgaging off their land to strangers. Because this is what I was hearing what Brother Love Ill was saying. As soon as I heard him saying that, of course, I love the dialogue like I do in class, because you invoke my thoughts on a lot of information that needs to be heard from the people, because this shows you how well-read, how well-researched that I am in these issues that surrounds us and faces us. So what happens with us is that we are entering into a mortgage, which we shouldn't, all right? And this is the reason why this equity thing that you brought up, Brother Tahaka, is so important, because the prophet, this is what I read myself, and I haven't heard no more.
Okay, well, before we go on, let me stop for a quick station identification. We'll come back, and we'll pick back up on that, and we'll get back in here. Just hold on for 1 second, all right?
Islam, Hotel, Barigani. What's happening in peace? January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, we will have Summit of the Moors. This is a collective effort to bring about economic security that is a great opportunity for our people to forecast their own future, beginning with a collective approach that can benefit all. The educators, the speakers are all diverse to represent the people who are also diverse in their ideologies. On deck, we have Kadara Bey, Dr. Aileen Bey, Julani Bey, Tahaka Amina L. Bey, Abundance Child, Sundiata L., Daraya Bey, the Federation of Southern Cooperative, German Shannon L., Sharif Noble, and myself, Asar Dalo Saku Abur L. Topics will be food security, such things as aquaponics, gold and silver purchasing, technology, cooperative application, the administrative process, and lots more. We also have what's called private side sessions. These sessions will not be recorded, any recording, audio, or visual for the public. You have to be in person in order to get these jewels. And we also have some special guests who didn't want to be advertised that will come and drop more information. I'm urging everyone to go to www.dalosaku.com and register. This is free. This is a free event. It is www.dalosaku.com. DialoSekou.com. January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, Summit of the Moors. Peace.
Okay, before we proceed, let me get some access to me. I'm the host here, Tahaka Amana L. Bey, Minister for the Moorish American Government, Minister of Education for the Moorish American Government. And for those of you who would like to register with the Moorish American Government, you go to www.moorishamericangov.org and scroll down to the bottom. You got your the bottom of the main page. You got your national conference call there. You can dial in that 7 days a week. It's I got your access code and register with your government on a regular basis. You go ahead over on that same page and scroll down on the left side. Any of your name and contact information in there, put all of your family members there on that census, and register with your government. My job is to, uplifting falling humanity is the educational side. So therefore, what I have done is taken the time out of my life and created a library for my people so that they will have access to the tools that they would need that's not being taught in the American school system. The information is not lining the shelves in your library. This is information specifically designed for us so that we can take these tools and make a difference in a change in our life. And the way you access that is by contacting me at area code 904-303-9061. And please, before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we get you in there. We have our free article. There's tons of blogs. all across the internet. If you just type in my name, Tahaka Amana El Bey, I'm all over everywhere. And there's tons of information available for you to study. There's constant posts from different websites in different areas all over Google, Yahoo, you name it. All you have to do is just type in Tahaka, T-A-R-H-A-K-A, Amana, A-M-A-A-N-A, and then El Bey, which is E-L, then B-E-Y-R. You can just simply type in Tahaka, T-A-R-H-A-K-A, and that's it. And it'll take you everywhere. We're putting up information for your education so that you will have the tools to make good, sound, and solid decision based on the facts. So I want to put that out there now. Now, fellas, let me go back to this equity thing. But this time, I want you all to let's put our heads together and see how this thing can what kind of understanding we can give the people in regards to the equity involved in our loved ones that's behind bars in these prisons. What you got on that, brother? Commit you, Bay.
You said equity in reference to our loved ones. I didn't quite get what you were asking, Brother Tahaka. So come again. Come again.
Okay, now. Well, I want to see how they are using that. How does that, what side, a part does that play in our loved ones being incarcerated in these jails and prisons across the country? What's the equity side on the prison system part? How do they view that? How's that thing working for them?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mention that. I'm in contact with the brother coming out of the correctional facility in Rikers Island. I used to work out there also. I was just in contact with the brother. I was speaking with him yesterday. His name is Mr. Steels, all right, Lorenzo Steele, and he's doing a beautiful piece because what he's doing, brother, is going into the public libraries and educating our communities. All right, and also going into the school, talking to our young people in junior high school and high school, and he has a graph where he's actually showing the young people that when you fail in school with these truant officers coming here and start issuing you these different violations, then what happens is that they're processing you in already into the criminal justice system, all right, by being arrested by the police department, taken into a correctional facility, then going to the court system. So and then also the bail bondsman is also involved or in place. So as I was telling him, is that you have to look at ALEC, which is the American Legislative Executive Committee, all right? As I was stating to Brother Steele, that the police department is a corporation, the correctional department is a corporation, the bail bondsman is a corporation, and definitely the courthouse is a corporation, all right? And, of course, the school, the education department, is also a corporation. So now you have all these corporate heads coming together, dictating to legislators, all right, what laws to be created in order to subjugate us into their system because they need to feed this machinery of processing us in so that way they can build up equity for their pockets of retirement, all right, or whatever funds they have set up, all right, and these prospectus and portfolios being sold on the Wall Street stock market. And also, to be equally understood, too, is the teachers' union. The teachers have a retirement, and their retirement system is based upon investing into the correctional facility because they know that the jails are growing larger and larger in the United States, all right? And this is how they're gaining their equity, brother. So it's very important to begin to start recognizing the place of origin, which really goes back to the time when the Europeans subjugated and sanctioned the Moors in our inherited land here, which is Morocco, the far west, all right? And begin to start setting up a penal system because we are right now living in a society where we're dealing with peonage. You have to go to the fourth edition of the Black's Law Dictionary and look up the word peonage, and you'll begin to start seeing that it has something to do with debt, all right? So, and feudalism. They brought feudalism and peonage into the land of our forefathers, all right? And this is how they create equity for themselves, for their posterity. So when you read the U.S. Constitution, as what our beloved brother Frederick Douglass was saying, that it's a pro-slavery document, when you read in that preamble of the U.S. Constitution, it talks about the blessings of themselves and their posterity, all right? This is what they're talking about, you know, and how would they create this blessings of their posterity? By sacrificing us into their criminal justice system. And it's exactly what their justice system stands for. It's criminal. Peace.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I always pay attention to the old adage that they give us, that there is no excuse for not knowing the law. Now, the way I see it, and sometimes I be accused of being harsh and cruel, and I don't know, maybe it's because how I was raised or whatever. I never want nobody to hold my hand. I don't know what. When I was a kid, I would look out there, and all these big giant dudes being in the streets and stuff playing football. You can hear bones shattering all across the concrete and all that. I want to get in the game. Then you had, when I got big enough to play football myself, I called myself getting together a little team. And but the guys that I had on my team, they look at the opposing team, and man, look how big they are. I was like, boy, shut up. Get them down. Let's go, man. Let's get them. I don't feel about that. So I look at the situation like they said, there's no excuse for not knowing the law. And if you practice and get yourself in shape and get get it in your head and in your mind and stuff, where you can exercise authority, then you can get up in the game with whatever they're doing, and just like Samson, shake yourself in the earth. That's the way I see it. That's just me. Y'all got to just excuse me. It's just in my nature. I guess I was just born that way. I don't know why. I've been that way ever since I was a child. I didn't care who he was, what he had coming, or how big it was. Get out of the way. Let me hold him a minute. So that's the way I look at that situation. The board is lighting up. Let me get in here and open it up. Area code 229. Tell us who you are, where you calling from, what your question, comment. 229.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
yes.
Talk to him, brother.
I'm having a problem with the city councilman here. They're inspected. I got a house, and they want me to tear them down. I said I can't fix them or nothing. I'm in Georgia.
They saying you own houses. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, right.
And they're saying that you got to tear them down.
Yes.
You own the house.
Yes, I own the houses.
Okay. Brother, y'all will help the man out with that?
Yes.
Yes,
sir,
brother.
I didn't hear you. Yes, I can answer to that, Brother Tahaka. I was down in Georgia about a few months back, and I know they're very villainous down in Georgia. They're not like in New York. I mean, each state got their own villainous ways to take property from you. But apparently what I'm hearing from the brother, they seem to pass that property of his as being a condemned property. You know, I had a couple of clients who was facing the same situation, all right? So basically the city officials or that county officials had to come in and assess his property and assess it to be condemned, all right? This is basically what happened in this brother's circumstances. And I don't know what legal representation that he had met or seek for and to refute this, but one thing I can say that we cannot be negligent and not stand by and not do anything to defend your property. You know, if the brothers see that this is his private property, now remember now, these Europeans took an oath to the Constitution, and in the Constitution and the Fifth Amendment, all right, well, let's go with the Fourth Amendment that they took an oath to. It says that the people have a right to be protected in their person, papers in effect, all right? And the Fifth Amendment says you cannot take private property, you cannot use take private property for public use without just compensation, all right? So apparently they have passed a law, all right, to condemn this brother's property and want him to be able to tear down the property. This is basically what I'm hearing. But he's going to need some legal defense, something juridical that's going to protect him and his property. So I don't know what is the condition of his property, what does he see it as to be. 9 to 10, his property may not even be in a condition of being condemned to be torn down, but this is how the city takes jurisdiction to take his property from him. So, of course, I gave my number, which was 347-626-1357, and you can give me a call. I may have to look over whatever legal documents that the county has sent him or whatever the township or city that he's in that's taking actions for him to take his property down. Because, again, Brother Tahaka, you said it best. The European always want to put it over on you, which is I call cloak and dagger. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. But, brother, this brother here right here, which is coming to you, found a New York State statute showing you that we were supposed to receive law in school. And if we ain't talking about law school or paralegal, we were supposed to receive law on every grade level, all right? Because as I teach our brothers and sisters, that when you go to that sixth edition of the Black Law Dictionary and look up the word civilian, all right? And the word civilian means one who's skilled, right, in law. One who's skilled in law. So how could you be skilled or versed in law if you have never got law in school? So they're going to pull this wool over your eyes to say that ignorance of the law is no excuse. But as I told our brothers and sisters, that if you have a motor vehicle problem, you need to go to motor vehicle and purchase that vehicle traffic law, all right, for the state where you're domiciled, because you will find your relief and remedies in those law books. Because if you notice, when you go get your driver license, they never give you the vehicle traffic law. So, but at the same time, in the same breath, these same devils will tell you that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Peace.
Peace, brother. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and mute your mic, and then we're going on into the continue with the broadcast. Keep holding on and keep listening, and you might pick up some more information that can help you out, okay?
All right, I will.
All right, brother. Brother Lovell.
What's wrong?
What you got on that?
It's wrong, brother. First thing I would say is I like to definitely back up what the brother was saying about civics piece. You know, you definitely have to understand how to protect yourself and your assets. Part of what we do here in Moore's Home Office is we arm the people with understanding of their status and how that works properly. Because, see, I believe we discussed this before with the four aspects of the law. It begins with status, then jurisdiction, then venue, then subject matter, okay? So with any situation that applies, so the status is always the issue to bring up that first and foremost thing, okay? Now, it's also good to be well-versed on the various statutes and codes and where they exist in the various jurisdictions and where they lie. But let's just be honest with ourselves. Having access to all information can be quite exhaustive. I mean, if anybody is familiar with the legal field, you'll know, and if you've been to a law library, you see the sheer number of books. I mean, it's enough to overwhelm you. But, I mean, nonetheless, it shouldn't be, you know, because it's all about understanding law. It's about knowing how to access the particular information that you need for any particular situation. But I just brought that point up to bring us to a point of order as far as understanding and recognizing the status. Now, with regards to the brother's issue with down in Georgia with his property, that's part of the reason why we advocate nationalizing the property. And that's part of the reason why we instruct the people to do exactly what the prophet said, and as far as putting the property in the name of a religious organization. Now, sure, if you, you know, this is the thing you have to be aware of. Okay, yeah, the that municipality is coming after the property, and you know they're doing what they do. So, okay, you may solve that issue. You may deal with that at that juncture. But at that point, you still have to deal with protecting your property even beyond that situation. So what we deal with in our service is more of a permanent solution with regards to how to protect our assets and our birthrights, not letting the ego get in the way, but we already understand there ain't no need to reinvent the wheel if the prophet came and brought us the formula. Let's just use what we have and put it to work. I recall going down to the recorded deeds office where the authority of our prophet is filed, where our authority is filed, here in Moorish Mecca, 1059-05, that document that's on the back of your 101s, which is the authority it's supposed to be. Now, if it's not a carbon copy, then it's not, it's invalid. It is a fraud. It has to be a carbon copy that's signed by the prophet. Okay? Now, what we have done is we've attached that authority and we use that authority. We use the power of the prophet to fight against those foes that would face us. So we're not even going to get into the various jurisdictions and whatnot. We understand that that's a piece and part of the law of demonstration. That's basically codified law within the records of the government that we live in, and it can be utilized and accessed. And when we actually upon doing our research, this was years ago, about more than 10 years ago, and we asked a sister at the location, on location, the same place where the prophet went to file it, we asked her the question. We said, what is this used for? Guess what the sister said? She said that it's supposed to be used in court. It's supposed to be used in court. That's what the sister said that worked down there at the time. So we just drawing off of being what we know. Peace.
Okay. I don't know about that particular document that you are referring to, but I do know that what I do personally for myself and what works for me and continue to work is if I have a problem with family issues, I study law. If I have a problem with criminal law, I'll study criminal law. And it all, you know, I follow this one principle that says, man, know thyself. And with complete knowledge about myself, my culture, my story, it seems to empower me and strengthen me as a foundation, and then I can study the law that is involved in whatever situation that I'm involved in that ever comes up, where I can handle that with ease because I take the time to study that and research that and get it down to a science, get the tools that I'll need to engage in accomplishing that, and follow through from start to finish with that. That's what I've been using and been quite successful at that. And, for instance, we had a situation come up across the country where we had police doing all these bad things and traffic stops and all of that. So went to work on that and got out there on the pavement with what we had, and we started improving and improving and improving and improving until it got to the point that we were very successful at succeeding at that. So the way I look at it is every man has 24 hours in a day. And it's what you do with your time that will determine the successes and stuff in your life. You got, for those of you who are employed, you work on job, you may work 5 days a week. You got 2 days off. Well, every day when you get off of work, and that from the remainder of that time until the next day, that's your time.
those 2 days where you don't have to go to work, that's your time. That's an opportunity for you to diversify your situation and change the circumstances in your life. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I've always done it, and it has been successful. I also believe that you don't wait for something to happen. You make something happen. You can either be a victim of circumstances or you can be a victim of circumstances. And also, there's only two types of people in the world, as far as I'm concerned, and that's the have moles and the wish mole. It is up to you which one you going to be.
Hold on.
Another caller on the line. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. Let him in here.
That's fine.
Air code 434. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment. 434. Okay, we're gonna close that off. Okay, brother, let's get back to this thing and deal with these mortgages. So now, brother, commit to you, Bay. We're talking about a whole different ball game. You're talking about taking this
house that your brother's in trouble with, and you and him getting together and working together among yourselves to turn this thing around, where y'all can come out with the long end of the stick instead of the short end of the stick. For the new callers that's coming in, could you run that by us one more time?
All right, because I didn't quite. All right, I hear what you're saying, Brother Tahaka, but I didn't quite get your question because you was making mention of the long end of the stick and the short end of the stick. So something you wanted me to reiterate in reference to?
Yeah, I wanted you to reiterate the decision, because we got new people just calling in. Just coming in on the switchboard. I can see them here. And a lot of them are coming in late. And what you had mentioned earlier was quite interesting, and it's something that I had never heard before about you and your brother getting one of y'all in trouble with your mortgage, and you get together. And
Yes, brother, I got you now, because it was so much to have been said. I know you didn't want me to reiterate every single last thing that was said, so I wanted to get to specifics, so thank you for clarifying that for me. Basically, what we was talking about, which is important, because this information I'm giving is to be able to help our brothers and sisters for immediate relief. All right? Everything that Brother Love Hill is referring to with your status is very, very true, but a lot of our people don't really comprehend status. It's going to take time coming in and say, you know, that dealing with the law is very extensive, and it can be very intimidating and overwhelming, all right? And people want to know where to start, and that's what your own case, and this is where you build from, all right, in order for you to learn. But in the meantime, there's a situation where you need relief, all right? And again, we're talking about something that is financial and beneficial to help a brother and sister out of a foreclosure circumstances, and it's very important, all right? And all of it is important, all right, to be able to remove our properties out of these conditions. But in the meantime, it is in these conditions, so we have to do something, you know, and what I'm giving is abandoned. This is not a long-term relief. What Brother Olive Hill said, Brother Love Hill said, excuse me, was true. But it's a long-term process, and when you're entering into that process is where you cannot really put your property into mortgage. You know what I'm saying? But there's other ways you can exempt it from your assets without mortgaging your assets, and I'm going to be teaching that in the near future. But this issue is about using the straw man process to remove you from the foreclosure. All right, process. And that issue is pertaining to the fact that, say, for instance, as I said before, Brother Tahaka, is that if, say, for instance, if you was a brother that you were hard and your mortgage was $200,000, all right, and of course your mortgage monthly payments was $1,800 a month, and you couldn't make those payments because something happened where, over time, you know, you ran into a hardship. You had a, you know, Your job might have cut back. Who knows what the situation may be? But the point is that the straw man process is a process where a person, say, for instance, you can use me hypothetically for credit. Say, for instance, my credit is a 7.0, you know, good credit as far as the bank is concerned. I can specifically purchase your property out of foreclosure. This is what the straw land process would be. It's to purchase the property out of the foreclosure, and as I take the property out of the foreclosure, because of the good credit that the bank would assess the property for, would give me a better mortgage payment. So we probably can lower the mortgage payment down from $1,800 a month to $1,100 a month, which means I will be saving you $700, all right, per month with a good interest rate, all right? And the process, of course, when the property is being brought out of foreclosure, all right, through the straw man process, of course, 1910, if the property was $200,000, as stated before, hypothetical, most likely I'll be buying the property when it's appraised probably for $300,000. So you subtract the $200,000 from the $300,000, you're going to have $100,000 left over. Of course, that money would go to you, Brother Tahaka, all right, for me, of course, doing the straw man process as an agreement between me and you. And, of course, out of that $100,000, you would give me $20,000, all right, for my services. In the meantime, you would maintain $80,000 in an account privately where you could use that money, all right, to help you pay off your mortgage, all right. And in the process or in the interim of several months going by where everything is in good standing, everything is well, then I can quick claim the deed right back to you. So that way when the mortgage is paid off, all right, you would automatically would have the deed free and clear of a mortgage. That's basically the process, Brother Tahaka. Peace.
Okay. All right. Brother Lil Bill. Now, you.
It's fine, brother.
You were talking about brothers and sisters that belong to religious institutions, churches, and organizations and stuff of that nature. They can turn their property over to that. Can you want to give us a breakdown on that?
Yes, sir. I also, what I want to do is I want to give a clarification on certain things with regards to the process and the status. For the record, brother, it's not a long-term process to proclaim your nationality. It can be done in one sitting at a meeting of the Moorish Science Temple of America. With regards to documents that are filed at the recorded deeds office or at the county level, we must understand that the only thing that validates the mortgage is the fact that it's been filed and recorded and notarized at the recorded deeds office. Anything that's filed there affects real estate or affects the property. And what we're talking about is a process that can help somebody, whether they're part of the organization, a religious organization, or not. Part of and it's a much simpler process because it does. You don't need to have access to anybody. You don't have to go into the necessarily go into the credit or financial game per se, but you go into the part that's basically most affected. When they get through processing those documents, where are they going to go? They're going to go down to the recorded deeds office to put that on the record. And also want to clarify about that document 1010-5905, which is the authority document, which is part of the express trust that the prophet set up for all of us as Moors, which is why it should be advertised as the first remedy. And I'm going to explain why. Because, see, it's set up as a trust in such a way where you can attach it to any piece of real estate within our empire. And then when you in effect, put that in the record on the court, and when you attach the property to this document, you actually nationalize the property. It's a very simple process. The only thing you need to do is have access to someone who understands the process and who is an authority to demonstrate that, preferably someone that's a sheikh or sheikhess that's been trained to service our people in such a way. Because like the good brother said, our people need remedy and they need them right away. And for the record, we have used this process in the courts to see how it works, to test it, to see the validity of it, how it would work in actual foreclosure. They run and scared. They don't want to deal with it. They resort to fraud rather than to deal with the issues forefront. We right here in Moorish Mecca banging on the beats for these mortgages and as far as foreclosure. So we've been the message we bring. We'd have been to the courts. We'd have used this demonstration in the courts and saw it work, saw the power of the prophet, how it works. As a matter of fact, that document is supposed to be attached to every piece of property within our empire. Islam?
Islam. Now, in that document, which document is that now?
That is the document of authority. Our authority document, 1010-5905, is signed by the Prophet Noble Jali. It's one of the few documents that's signed by the Prophet. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. Execute it. And when you use it in a certain way, when it's certified and you attach it to this, because it's prima facie evidence on this space, it can be utilized right away. It was activated back in 1928. So the remedy is right now, to the point exact today, if you call and you get the document together and you put it down there and you file it against those folks. Islam.
Okay. Islam. All right.
Mr. Tucker, I want to respond to what Brother Bill was saying. What I was saying is that so it can be clear, when I say that is a long-term process, all right, it's very important to be aware that people can misinterpret what other people are stating, and that's why usually when I hear something, I usually try to understand what they're saying when they state it. When I say a long-term process, meaning that people is so used to getting mortgages on their property, they don't know how to live without a mortgage, all right? So when you do this process, what Brother Love Ill is saying, all right, most people is going to be stuck on how to be able to use the equity in their property, and 9 to the 10, what happens is that they fall into a mortgage trap, all right? But when you use this process with Love Ill, you can't get a mortgage on the property, but there's ways you can still get equity and use it as collateral.
Islam, let me clarify, brother. Islam. If you research the Religious Corporation Act, Hurd's Revised Statutes, it makes a reference to entities such as the Morris Science Temple of America or organized similarly, being able to actually mortgage the property itself. See, that's why we have to have a better understanding of financing ourselves so that we can, once we bring these properties into the jurisdiction of the temple, then we can begin to put together the mechanisms for financing those particular actions. Islam.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that mortgaging the property is not the way to go, all right? But you see, all right, I hear what you're saying, but I can't tell people, you know, like for instance, I give an example, Brother Tahaka, for those who are listening, all right? Just as the process, as the Moore said, all right, there's going to be some brothers and sisters who may not acknowledge what the brother's saying, but you, Brother Tahaka, know what I'm saying just as well as Love Ill. You can go get a federal land patent. The federal land patent would clear your property free and clear. I'm just only putting that out there so you can give an example, all right? Not to bring any opposition, but just to give people some clarity. You get a federal land patent would free and clear your property from taxes, all right, and it would kill the mortgage or any other debt. Why? Because you would have the allodial title over and above any other title that you would cloud, all right? But at the same time, you would be moving your property off the market. But now you're talking about putting your property back into the market and into mortgaging it. Now your property is not being protected when you're mortgaging it, because what you're saying is you're putting your property as security, all right? I'm saying you can still use your property as collateral, but you won't have to use it as a security, because God forbid if you miss a mortgage payment, the first thing they're going to want to do, you know, saying, is foreclose on your property. So the question, brother, if you're telling me and those who are listening out there that you have heard statutes, or I've read the statutes, I've been to Chicago, I flew out there, the Moors flew me out there, I went to the law library, and I stayed out there for about 3 days, and I had put a lot of documents in the law library with these brothers out there who show me a lot of love in reference to the Hurd statutes. So we do converse on the Hurd statutes, so I'm totally aware of what the Hurd statutes, and not only that, every state has a quote-unquote Hurd statute, so you have to read the statutes within your state. But in the meantime, what I'm saying is that if you was to remove your property, as you stated, and remove it out of the court's jurisdiction from being foreclosed on in reference to the bank, and then you turn around and say, I'm going to mortgage the property, you don't think that the bank is going to want to foreclose on the mortgage when the fact that you may default on the mortgage again? You know, it's almost like you
Let me clarify myself, brother. Let me clarify that.
Now, there are those of us that may understand that it's not necessary for us to have a property within the mortgage system per se, or within the, at that aspect of commerce. But we do have services where we can deal with and nullify the mortgage point for point within the statutes and codes and show. That's part of the reason why we have a service where we deal with mortgage elimination. So it's not all just totally religious-based, brother, the services that we provide. I was just giving people an understanding as far as what the first remedy should be with regards to protecting our assets as a nation. Now, we also understand that there are remedies that are needed on a personal individual level. That point is well taken as well. That's part of the reason why we provide this service for our people as well. Some of our people may not understand the aspects and the various protections that come along with the vast estate trust that the property set us up with. That's all fine and well. We still have remedies for those brothers and sisters. And my point is this. I think that we should start working more stronger together to build a base, a network, because there's enough work out here for us all. There's enough work for all as far as regards to uplifting fallen humanity. And there are those of us that specialize in various areas, and I'm sure the brothers and sisters have had a chance to hear that fire coming from those different positions. And that's good, and that's all well and good. And we should have that fire. We should come and bring it. That's the way it's got to be. We got to be on it like that 100%. That's part of the reason why I wanted to share some of the things that we've been doing as far as facing against these foes, because the only way we're going to get stronger is when we come together and we start to begin to reason and we understand that it's in our unity with each other. Remember the covenants, you see what I'm saying, the relation that binds us together, because we all have talents that are allotted in the different places. All of us are not meant to do the same thing, but we are meant to do the same thing. Understand? So we have different talents, but it's all dedicated towards the upliftment of fallen humanity. Okay? So just want to put that point out and make that clear. We all on one accord with that. Islam. Got to keep that love pumping strong, brother. I got to keep that going. That's my name, brother. We got to keep that love. Islam.
True. Well, I stand on love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, brother. Love, ill. But one thing that I've learned about, you know, me, you know, the more than I am, the greater I am, is that, you know, we have a lot of brothers and sisters, unconscious as yet, as we would say, all right, who may not understand that process that you're coming with. But at the same time, you brought out a very essential point, uplifting fallen humanity. So my whole thing or position as me, as the more than I am, I'm going to help unconscious Asiatic just as well as the conscious Asiatic. So now the unconscious Asiatic may not walk the way you walked in reference to what you're saying, all right, what you really introduce to them is earthly salvation to be able to pull it properly out of that condition. And I wholeheartedly agree with you, because of the fact that our people are so caught up with the system that they don't see that way. And I'm not looking at a faith-based substitute, but what I'm saying is that, and this is no mean to negate anything you're saying, but it's good to have other remedies out there for our brothers and sisters also, so that way they can say, you know what, this Moore was a good Samaritan, you know what I'm saying, he put me onto some good information, you know what I'm saying, and he drives me out of that. I want to see what this is about. But usually what happens is when you do introduce the Moorish American, you know what I'm saying, nationality to someone, 9 to 10, which you already know, first thing the person is going to say is, oh, what is that kind of religion? Or I got to join this particular group to be involved with such and such. And then they're going to want to shut away from it. You see what I'm saying? So, of course, it's an unfortunate situation because there's just so much things going out there. You got the Hebrew Israelites. You got the 5%ers. You got the Nuwabians. You know, you just got so many different groups out there. You know what I'm saying? You know, Nation of Islam, but so many different groups and so many different arenas and avenues that, you know, people may just say, wow, I got to join something to be able to get this particular benefit. And this is what, you know, it's like it's being pushed off as. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing. I just want to clarify that, but there's times people can take it from that aspect because I look at the sociology and the psychology of the minds of our people. So I say, I have something to
look at his brother and sister to help them out of this situation. And when they look at me and say, you know what, those Moors over there were, you know, was in that community, they was helping us out of the situation. We'd like to know what they're all about. All right, well, this is our status. This is what we do, you know what I'm saying? And this is the better route. This is the better road. What you were saying, Brother Olive Hill, I mean, Love Hill, excuse me, brother, that is the better route. That is the better road. But there's some of our people out there who may not see that. You see what I'm saying? So we have to bring them in still. You know what I'm saying? We have to have some kind of way to have our people to come in because our people are still caught up with Christmas, all right? Some of our people are still caught up with Thanksgiving or any other issues that's out there, but we have to find the most loving...
Economics. One word, brother, yeah. Economics. Economic security. We got to understand, right, the prophet is the doctor. We get our training from the doctor. We got what ails the people. The people are sick. So it's almost to the point where it's, you know what, brother, I've been a member for over 18 years. It's so much to the point where, you know, it's... You don't even need to figure it out. Just get the program inside you, ingest it, and get out there and start healing the people because they need to be healed. They're sick. That's what that means, brother. And we have what ails them. If they sick, we got it. And if they don't know, then we got different remedies and different things that can help them along, you know, with understanding. We're going to use love. See, love is what it's a cure-all. We're going to love all the hate away because we love our people. That's the first thing. We got to have a genuine love for our people. And if you love them, then you can't lie to them. You got to tell them the truth. That's where the principle of truth comes in. Then we can have peace. And then freedom comes about because justice can reign in the land. And that's why I follow the program of the prophet to the letter. Now, if you're free to go ahead and draw for any other thing you want to. That's fine. You have that. Like the prophet said, the door to religious freedom swings free open to all, and they may enter into it as they may. We don't dictate to anybody how they should demonstrate and draw for their religious faith. But what we're drawing off of is the practicality of the law and how it's been set up for the salvation of our people. Like I said before to Brother Taharka, our religion is teaching our people the truth about their nationality and birthright. That is our religion. Islam?
Islam. Okay, well, brothers, I'm so glad we got total clarity on all that. Now, we got 13 minutes left on this broadcast. So, is it anything else, brother, commit to you that you want to say in regards to this mortgage situation and helping our people with that and some things that they might need to start doing? Because I know that you were stressing at the outset about learning finance. What books should they study in regards to learning about finance that you recommend?
Well, again, Noble, and thank you for Taharka, because again, the prophet brought it to my light when I started studying the works of the prophet, when he says it takes finance to lift a nation, and finance and science mean lifeline. So when the prophet said that, automatically I knew that I got to study finance. Matter of fact, there's some newspapers written called the Morris Guide up in the archives of the Schomburg Library up in Harlem, New York. You know, and I've been in there, I did some research on the Morris Science Collection. And in that collection, what I came across is the prophet had been making $15,000 to $18,000 a month. That's a lot of money even today, all right, that the prophet had all types of businesses and manufacturing things going on because he knew that he's going to have to take finance to lift a nation, all right? This is what the prophet had got going on, all right? So reading the material of the prophet and analyzing what the prophet was doing, because as the prophet said, imitate I, the prophet, all right, I had to myself personally as a Moor start studying what? Finance, all right? If it's going to lift the nation, then you have to educate yourself with that language in order to be able to uplift the nation with the finance. So, again, you can go to investopedia.com, which is an excellent site, because what that site does, it actually explains, it gives the definition of the legal, of the financial term, excuse me, of the financial term, and it also gives you an explanation like a thesaurus so you can at least grasp the idea of what the financial term is referring to, because it's new to us, all right? And then, of course, Barron's, it's by Barron's put out, is called the Dictionary of Finance and Investment Terms by Barron, and the other one is called Dictionary of Banking Terms all right? And also the Bouvier. The Bouvier Law Dictionary is also a banking and financial dictionary that the Congress use, because when they put these bills together, those bills are what? Equity. You see what I'm saying? So that's what that's how they put it together. So that's another book that you should have in your possession also. So it's not just a law book, as most people would see it as, but it's also a book that deals with a lot of banking and finance, and that's something that we need to stress, because then once we start having a financial outlook on how we can change our spending, our empowerment, our investments, then we can pull ourselves out of this poverty condition. Thanks.
Okay. Brother Lovell, what book you recommend that the brothers and sisters need to get a hold of briefly?
Islam, brother, I recommend you get a hold to the Circle 7 Koran, or the Moorish Science Temple of America, get a hold to the 101, get a hold to the Divine Constitution and Bylaws. Also recommend that you get a hold to the various law books and the books that the brother recommended. Part of this is because when you look in our lesson, it says know thyself and Allah. So that being said, yeah, that's the direction and that's the piece. Also, get access to, I would say a Black's Law Dictionary in addition to that, too. I've heard the earlier versions are better. Also, not to forget, if you can get access to a copy of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, I have a copy that was amended on 2005. It's a old copy, but it's still pretty good. A lot of up-to-date laws in it. Also, if you get a chance to get to your law library, you can make copies of those various laws, Smith-Hersey by statutes. And you can also look up the laws. They're updated within the codified statutes because they never, they're always grandfathered in, okay? So with that being said, I just like to say I love all y'all and peace.
Okay, brother. I like recommend that y'all get Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, written by Elihu Pleasant Bay. And y'all contact me in regards to this library that we're holding here. And we also have Black's Law Dictionary, Volume 1 through 9, Bouvier's Dictionary, Bloomsbury, The Essential, Oxford, and all of them in one package. Just access that by simply contacting me at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And y'all hold on one second, and we'll be back.
Islam, Hotep, Barigani. What's happening in peace? January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, we will have Summit of the Moors. This is a collective effort to bring about economic security that is a great opportunity for our people to forecast their own future, beginning with a collective approach that can benefit all. The educators, the speakers are all diverse to represent the people who are also diverse in their ideologies. On deck we have Kadara Bey, Dr. Aline Bey, Julani Bey, Tahaka Amina L. Bey, Abundance Child, Sundiata L., Daraya Bey, the Federation of Southern Cooperative, German Shannon L., Sharif Noble, and myself, Asar Dalo Saku Abur L. Topics will be food security, such things as aquaponics, gold and silver purchasing, technology, cooperative application, the administrative process, and lots more. We also have what's called private side sessions. These sessions will not be recorded, any recording, audio or visual, for the public. You have to be in person in order to get these jewels. And we also have some special guests who didn't want to be advertised that will come and drop more information. I'm urging everyone to go to www.dalosaku.com and register. This is free. This is a free event. It is www.dalosaku.com. DialoSekou.com. January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, Summit of the Moors. Peace.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, brothers, Community U Bay and Brother Loveville, I certainly appreciate y'all being on the broadcast. I also want to say to everybody that on the 5th of December, we'll have Dr. Scott Whitaker live. Will be here with us. Also, we're going to do a broadcast on the Summit of the Moors right here. We're going to try to do this in between tomorrow and Tuesday, where we have all the brothers that's actually going to be here in the city that's going to actually participate in the workshop of the Summit of the Moors. And so y'all need to tune in that broadcast. We'll be putting the information up and advertising on it. And, gentlemen, I certainly appreciate y'all being on, and I'm going to ask if y'all be kind enough to be back here next Sunday. Y'all think y'all can make that, brother? Okay, brother. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and close out this broadcast. And until next time, I've been your host, the Hawk of Amana El Bay.
Y'all, for the one that's always there to hold you. I work so hard. lost every day, all time. When I come home, I want some peace of mind. I got to fight them, to want to fight you. That's why I'm telling you that my love is true. Cause my love is strong, just like a big heart.